did. Genesis chapter 26, we'll begin to look at, we'll continue to look at Hebrew history. Many, many times when the history of the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, would be mentioned, or many times when that family would be mentioned, they would always lump together Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the three main figures that you see in Hebrew history. Abraham we looked at pretty extensively. We looked at Abraham's call. We looked at the promise that God gave him and how that promise was progressive in nature. Now, the promise was the promise. But as God began to unfold that promise to Abraham, each time that we see God speaking with Abraham, we see him revealing a little bit more about that promise. And the Bible's much that way in the way that it's written to us. We see a little nugget of a thought, a little basis of an idea. And as we go through our Bibles, God fills out the details more and more of that idea. And that's what he did with Abraham. We saw then Abraham grow. We saw him stumble. But those stumbling times and those faithless times at times are a big part of how we grow. We learn, and we learn some of our best lessons from our mistakes. At least we ought to, else we'll be repeating those same mistakes. And so we saw Abraham grow this way. Well, we went to Isaac, and we saw Isaac as Abraham offered Isaac up, and how that Isaac willingly laid down on that altar. How that Isaac willingly submitted to that. And it takes an incredible man of faith to do that. He wasn't a little toddler. He wasn't a little boy. My conviction is he wasn't even a teenager. He was older than that. But we saw Isaac in that way. And we saw Isaac willing to wait on God for a wife. Excuse me. We saw Isaac willing to just sit back. This will pass in a minute. We saw Isaac trusting the Lord for such a decision like that, and so much trust that he stayed home and let the servant go under the leadership of the Spirit of God, and let the servant go and find his bride as the Lord led. And so Isaac is clearly a man of faith. We saw that Isaac was a type of Christ, that he willingly laid down his life. He was a miracle son, the only son. God said several times to Abraham, take your only son, Isaac. And in several ways, we pointed out how Isaac is a type of Christ. Now, Genesis 26. Excuse me. Genesis 26. And we see here God visiting Isaac again and blessing him again, or reiterating that blessing. Genesis 26, the first six verses. Excuse me. There was a famine in the land beside the first famine that was in the days of Abraham. And Isaac went unto Abimelech, king of the Philistines, unto Gerar, and the Lord appeared unto him and said, Go not down into Egypt, dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Sojourn in this land, and I will be with thee, and I will bless thee. For unto thee and unto thy seed will I give all these countries. And I will perform the oath which I swear unto Abraham thy father. And I will make thy seed to multiply as the stars of heaven. And I will give unto thy seed all these countries. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge and my commandments and my statutes and my laws. And Isaac dwelt in Gerar. Brother Elmer, would you lead us in prayer? We see here in Genesis 26 the Lord appearing to Isaac again, very similarly to how he appeared to his father Abraham. We see here that reiteration of the promise. I'm going to make you a great nation. I'm going to multiply you. Now, we've talked a little bit about Isaac's faith and the strength that he's shown in a couple of occasions. You can read on from verses 7 through 11, and you'll see he makes some of the same mistakes as dad. Goes, and because his wife was a beautiful woman, he was afraid they would bump him off and take her, come up with that story that she's my sister. And then one day they were interacting in such a way that the king of the land said, Now wait a minute, that's not your sister. And the truth was out. The point that I wanted to make about that situation is that it was just like dad did it. You know, many, many times, the things that we let down on, our children will let down on and then take it one step farther. And then that's just going to keep going down unless we're careful. Isaac said, This is what Dad did. And so he did it. And it wasn't a shining light in the life of Isaac. But he learned from it, I suppose. I'm sure he did. And he goes on. Now from verses 12 through 16, let's just read verse 16. And Abimelech said unto Isaac, Go from us, for thou art much mightier than we. And there's a description in that verse there that, for example, in verse 12, they sowed and he received in that year 100-fold of what he had sowed. God blessed Isaac mightily, and his substance expanded mightily. He increased so much so that Abimelech said, Go away. Thou art much mightier than we. And so Isaac departed in verse 17. From verse 17 down to verse 23, they're attempting to reopen the wells that his father Abraham had dug. And every time they get one reopened, the people in the area say, Hey, that's ours. And rather than fighting, they would move on. And rather than fighting, they'd move on. It kept happening several times. But look at verses 24 through 28. And the Lord appeared unto him the same night and said, I am the God of Abraham, thy father. Fear not, for I am with thee, and I will bless thee, and multiply thy seed for my servant Abraham's sake. And he builded an altar there, and called upon the name of the Lord, and pitched his tent there, and there Isaac's servants digged a well. Then Abimelech went to him from Gerar, and Ahuzzath, one of his friends, and Phicol, the chief captain of his army. And Isaac said unto them, Wherefore come ye to me, seeing ye hate me, and have sent me away from you? And they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Let that sentence settle into your mind. Those that were watching Isaac's life, even watching some of his failures, mistakes, watching the strife that Isaac could have escalated but rather sought to avoid. As they watched Isaac increase, they said, We saw certainly that the Lord was with thee. Oh, that God would look upon us. And by his grace, oh, that others would look upon us and by God's grace see the Lord was with him. He wasn't perfect, but the Lord is certainly with him. And he's learning from his mistakes and he's growing. He's a man of faith, a man of honor. And the Lord was with him. And so they said in that verse 28, Let there be now an oath betwixt us, and even betwixt us and thee, and let us make a covenant with thee. And so they wanted a mutual agreement that there would be no strife, no trouble between the two peoples. But God was with him. And they said, This is obvious. And as long as God's on your side, we don't want to be opposing you. And so let's come up to a mutual agreement here. Now in chapter 27, we look at this first five verses. And it came to pass that when Isaac was old, his eyes were dim, so that he could not see. He called Esau his eldest son, and said unto him, My son. And he said unto him, Behold, here am I. And he said, Behold now, I am old. I know not the day of my death. Now therefore take, I pray thee, thy weapons, thy quiver, and thy bow, and go out to the field, and take some venison, and make me savory meat, such as I love, and bring it to me, that I may eat, that my soul may bless thee before I die. Rebekah heard this, and Rebekah heard when Isaac spake to Esau his son, and Esau went to the field to hunt for venison and to bring it. So now we have the beginning of one of the not-so-stellar times again in the life of Isaac and the home of Isaac. What's interesting to me about this is if you remember back in Genesis 25:23, and Rebekah has this warring going on, and she determines that something's not right. And she seeks the Lord on this. And the Lord said, Within your womb are twins, two nations, two manner of people, two completely separate kinds of people. One representing spiritual people, people of God, and one representing unspiritual, lost people, people of no faith. And the Lord revealed to her when he told her that. Remember what he said, and the elder shall serve the younger. Normally, it would be the elder received the main blessing, the main inheritance. Everything went to the elder. And the Lord told her, the elder is not the main guy. He shall serve the younger. Now, this many years later, she knows, she must know in the back of her mind that Jacob is to receive the blessing in that special portion. That Jacob is the one. And I had so many questions as I thought about that. Did Isaac know this? Did they discuss it? Did she keep this to herself and not understand it in some way? Did she forget? So many questions in this in my mind. But Isaac is getting ready to place the blessing to Esau. And she decides to set up a scheme and make it so that Isaac blessed Jacob. Now, verses 6 through 13, you have a scheming mother. In verses 14 through 27, you have him playing along with that, and you have a deceiving son. Look at verses 28 and 29. This is how it all unfolded then. Isaac is pronouncing the blessing. Therefore, God give thee of the dew of heaven, and the fatness of the earth, and plenty of corn and wine. Let people serve thee, and nations bow down to thee, and be lord over thy brethren. And let thy mother's sons bow down to thee. Cursed be every one that curses thee, and blessed be he that blesses thee. Listen to the words of that, and how that they parallel the words of the Lord to Abraham. And remember that God said to her that the elder shall serve the younger. But that wasn't what Isaac originally set out to do. He had told Esau to go out and get that venison and fix it up nice, and I'll enjoy it, and then I'll pass on the blessing before I die. Mom and Jacob conspire together. Well, Mom initiates it, and Jacob goes along with it, and they figure out a way to trick Dad with a lamb and using the fur so that he would appear to be hairy like his brother, so that when his dad touched him, he wouldn't know. And all that would go on with all of that, and they tricked Isaac into passing the blessing along to Jacob. One of the questions that revolved in my mind is, why would they have to trick him to do what God said should be done? But nonetheless, this takes place. And Isaac blesses Jacob. Verse 30, Esau comes in the room. And as soon as he came in from hunting, in verse 31, he made the savory meat. In verse 32, Isaac, his father, said, "Who art thou?" And he said, "I am thy firstborn, Esau." Now right then, verse 33, Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who?" Isaac thought that he'd already blessed Esau. Esau walks in the room. Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, "Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought it me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed." That blessing will stand, and we'll read on further. That blessing does stand. But I thought about that trembling there in verse 33. I thought about the trembling. Was he trembling because he was angry? Was he trembling because he had been duped? He was angry at the fact that he'd been duped? I tell you what, this is only supposition. I personally believe he was trembling because he knew that he had gone against God. That he knew that he was bucking God. And he got caught. I believe that he was trembling because he came to a stark realization that God's will is going to be done. And I was opposed to it. And I was wrong. You notice he said in the end of verse 33, "And he shall be blessed." That blessing is going to stand. Esau begged him. And Isaac went ahead and did pronounce another blessing on Esau, but not the blessing. Verses 34 through 37 basically tell us the blessing stands. This is the way it's going to stay. Just like God said it would be. You cannot overthrow God and His plan. Even those that think evil unto another, even those that thought evil to Joseph, thought to do him wrong, they were ultimately carrying out God's plan. Even those that thought the most unthinkable thing, that they would clamor to have Christ crucified, he who had done nothing wrong, nothing amiss, they who thought to murder a completely innocent man were fulfilling the will of God. That does not make them any less responsible for their wicked actions. It just makes God a whole lot bigger when you realize that no matter what's going on, it's all being orchestrated, it's all working out to God's glory. I thought this would leave me alone. Excuse me. So, we realize again that though Isaac was a man of God, he was a man. And that in that he had his failures. But he was still a remarkable man of God. You look at his life as a whole, and he was a remarkable man of God. Now, Lord willing, next week we'll begin to look at Jacob. We will see Jacob's life and growth, just like Isaac, and even more discernible in Jacob's life. You can see stages of Jacob's life where he grows in the grace of God. But understanding these things and remembering these Bible accounts of what happened, then in the New Testament, when references are made to them, we'll have a basis for it, and we'll understand what that New Testament writer is talking about as well. And in all of these things, there's lessons that we can learn. The shortcomings of the father, many times, the fathers, the parents, are going to be passed down if we're not very, very careful. That's just the way it is. And God's plan is always working. God's plan is always coming together. God's plan is right on track. And nothing anybody's doing can throw that off track. Don't ever, ever think that God's in heaven wringing his hands wondering what he's going to do with this situation or that. Ours is simply to strive to follow him in all that we do. Just continue to follow him, learning what he would have us to do and what direction he would have us to go, and learning from our mistakes and growing and going on from there. So let's pray and be dismissed into the prayer groups. We'll keep the prayer groups brief tonight because we want to have a brief teachers meeting. So we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much.